Hey everybody, this is Fantasy Sports Today. I'm Ashley Docking and we're glad that you could join us today for the show. As you can see, the man to my left is not here, Chris Meaney, at home under the weather, so we wish him well. Although secretly, we just found out that Carey Price will be starting in goal tonight for the Canadiens, Les Habitants, for you French people. So I feel as though there is a sneaking suspicion that Chris Meaney is just gearing up for the Habs game tonight. But seriously, we hope that he's feeling better and he'll probably be back for us on Friday. But on this Friday, Junior, we welcome in Jake Seeley for his week 7 rankings as per usual. And then we have Nick Giffen from RotoViz, and he's talking about some storylines that he's had his eye on that intrigue him. He's talking about some cash plays, some GPP plays, and some running back by committee situations that he actually may not be avoiding. And the usual conversation, you know, that we have on Thursdays, the Gillisley drawn Davis debate. Who do you start at running back? Times are tough in the backfield for fantasy sports players and for owners. So we're going to try and make sense of some of those running back by committee situations. And first, we're going to start with LeSean McCoy. He has a mild to moderate hamstring strain. And although he has not been ruled out of Buffalo's game, he could not finish practice on Wednesday. Obviously a huge blow, as McCoy has been a huge part of that offense, including 3 touchdowns last week, much to the chagrin of the San Francisco 49ers. So he also has a history of soft tissue ailments, which could be concerning, but he's still not confirmed out, as I mentioned. Either way, it looks like Mike Gillisley will be having an increased role in this offense. He had 6 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown last week against San Francisco, and then 6 carries is his season high. He had additional 6 carries for 30 yards, no touchdowns, week 4 against New England. So a pretty good yards per carry average in those 2 games when he's been given still minimal opportunity, but we'll see how that situation plays out going forward. Latavius Murray has turf toe. He's been limited at practice and is questionable this week against Jacksonville. In the 2 weeks that he has not been present, Jalen Richard, 12 carries for 38 yards, no touchdowns, and 19 carries for 72 yards, still not finding the end zone, however. But we've talked about this running back situation again and again and again. It's very convoluted, and Jermaine Olawale is the one who poaches the goal line carries, and he's the one who keeps snaking all these touchdowns. He has 1 touchdown over the last 2 weeks with Murray gone. So again, this is a situation that you might want to avoid. And Murray, is still questionable for this week, so he's not been ruled out just yet. But someone who has is Carlos Hyde. He has a shoulder injury, and he will not be playing this week for San Fran against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But he's said it's not a long-term issue, and they have a bye in week 8. So until then, where he should be expected to return, it's going to be Mike Davis and Sean Drahn in a running back by committee situation. The 2 of these guys, we're not sure how the touches are going to go. It's expected that Davis will actually get the start and Sean Drahn will be backing him up. Again, a situation that I certainly do not want a piece of. Travis Benjamin, he did not make practice Wednesday. He didn't make it through practice. He has a knee injury, according to local beat writer, even though it was generalized a little bit earlier that it was his leg. We've kind of pinpointed the issue to his knee. So they're taking on the Falcons this week with a shaky secondary, to say the least. It looks like Terrell Williams will be the one that you're going to want to grab if Benjamin is not able to play. He's had consistent targets for the Chargers throughout the entire season, actually, around 6 per game. You could take a shot on Dontrell Inman if you want to. He did have that huge game against the Saints where I believe he was over 140 yards, but in the last 2 weeks, he's only had about 2 or 3 receptions, so it's definitely a risk, but one that could pay off if Travis Benjamin is not playing. Terrell Pryor, the only bright spot for the Browns at this point. He has a hamstring issue. He said he's going to do his best to play this week if he can. 33 receptions, 413 yards total on the season with 3 touchdowns. Cleveland taking on the Bengals this week. And it's just a sad situation in Cleveland. I don't mean to laugh, but, you know, he was playing some quarterback and then taking the best wide receiver off the field. Good news, though, I guess, in the near future, Corey Coleman still out for another 2 to 3 weeks with that broken hand, but that's could be when he's returning in about 2 to 3 weeks. And then Josh McCown, maybe 1 to 2 weeks away from jumping on the field. He has a collarbone injury that is lingering. He was actually pushing to play last week, but the team decided to go against it. And then a quarterback change up in New York for the Jets. They're taking on the Ravens at home this week. It's going to be Geno Smith who takes the field, as Ryan Fitzpatrick has been bad, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word, over the course of the season. After scoring 59 points in weeks 1 and 2, the Jets haven't scored more than 17 points since, and twice just 3 points. So Geno Smith is going to take the field, and I mean, the wide receiver assets can't be downgraded even more than they are now. So it could, if Geno Smith has a connection with either one of them, be a boost, although he was not great in his time last week, throwing an interception and I believe just 6 pass attempts. But Brandon Marshall, a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek tweet, I believe, that we have for you, saying, "It's been amazing to see this guy grow and really punch adversity in the face." Geno Smith, of course, punched by his former teammate I.K. Inampala in practice, and he broke his jaw. He was out for a substantial amount of time. What this could mean actually for the Jets is you could see their run game have an uptake. Bilal Powell, Matt Forte, just 12 rushes last week against Arizona, so they could go to the ground a little bit more than the air. Coming up next, Jake Seeley talks about his running back predictions. We're going to talk to him about Mike Gillisley. Does he get a bump, and how much when LeSean McCoy is unable to play, if he's unable to play? We'll be back. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As is tradition, Jake Seeley joins us now to talk about his Week 7 rankings. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Are you feeling special, just the two of us?
No, I'm feeling sad that Chris Meany decided to ditch me to prepare, I guess, for Carey Price to start for the Habs this evening.
Oh, prepare. Quote unquote.
Yeah. No, Chris is feeling a little under the weather, so we're going to do the best that we can without him. And we're going to start with your running back rankings. Jake leading the way, DeMarco Murray, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, then McCoy, asterisk. They're not sure how much he's going to be playing this week. Freeman, Gordon, Gurley, and then you have Michael Miller, Spencer Ware. And then we're looking at your 11 to 20 rankings, and we really want to get into Jaquizz Rodgers, who sits at 17. His volume last week was out of control. 30 touches on the ground, I believe another 5 or 6 catches through the air. Taking on San Fran this week, who LeSean McCoy absolutely thrashed last week. Do you think he's even going to need this much volume to be productive against the San Fran run D?
I think he needs close to it to be, if you want a LeSean McCoy like type game or what he did last time out with the fact that he was replacing Doug Martin, he does need it just because he's not somebody who's going to average 4.5 yards per carry. He's a smaller guy. I don't think the team actually wants him to carry the ball 30 times a game. He's just not built for that. So, but I do expect him to see the volume share. It is a great matchup for him in this situation. He is good running the ball, more so on sweeps and outside runs and pass catching out of the backfield. I would actually expect him to get a little bit more involved in the passing game this time around, which would obviously help him for PPR purposes. The only reason I don't have him ranked higher is because the yards per carry aren't there. He's not somebody who can dominate in that fashion. And there is a little bit concern that, you know, coming off a game like that, and he did have time to rest up. But it's, again, do we really want to see him touch the ball that many times? They might drive him to the ground and kill him in this game. If he sees 35 touches a game, I worry for his health.
When Doug Martin does return, what does Jaquizz Rodgers have to do to take away a significant workload to make him still fantasy relevant when Martin returns? Or is that even a possibility?
He can be fantasy relevant in PPR leagues. Okay. If you look at, he can fill the Charles Sims role, and probably he's 80, 90 at best percent of what Charles Sims was, which had standalone value as an RB2 in PPR leagues. He's probably more of a flex RB3 when Doug Martin's back, unless he just blows up this game and actually gets 20 carries and averages about 5 per touch. I can see that, but I don't think he's the built for that type of situation. I do think he's a nice compliment for Doug Martin. I do see him having a role. I just don't think it's going to be a 50-50 split. Just again, think of Charles Charles Sims, but maybe just about 90% of what Charles Sims was.
Digging a little bit deeper, you got Green Bay taking on Chicago tonight in the Thursday Nighter, actually, and the backfield for Green Bay is an absolute disaster. James Starks out, Eddie Lacy there. I saw articles today, he's returned to his 2015 weight. He's dealing with an ankle injury. He hasn't been as productive as I'm sure him as well as the rest of the offense would like. So they're going with wide receiver Ty Montgomery out of the backfield. You have him ranked 34th. And then you have Niall Davis, who they just recently signed. He's at 43rd in your rankings. Niall Davis, how valuable is he going to be going forward? It just seems like this week is not the week that you want him.
No, it's not. And that, you know, that's even, I think, an aggressive ranking, because I could just see him stumbling into a touchdown. Look, he's very quick, but you got to take away from the fact this guy never cracked the rotation with Jamaal Charles out in Kansas City. That needs to tell you something. He's very fast, but for how fast he is, he's not actually very elusive. He's not a very good between the tackles guy. He could maybe, as I said, fall into a touchdown because of the matchup situation. But I'm really looking at this game of it's going to be a lot of time Montgomery. I think they will sprinkle him in a little bit. Maybe Don Jackson gets the call up and is sprinkled in as well. I want to avoid both running backs unless I'm desperate, but Ty Montgomery in a PPR league, I think it'd have tremendous value. If you look at last week, 10 catches, even if he gets 10 catches for no yards, which isn't going to happen, that's still a valuable PPR day, let alone the fact that if he has a game like he did last week, which was top 15 for wide receivers, and at running back, he was number 10. Not that you're going to get running back value in your leagues because you can't start him there, but just for the comparison of how good he was last week.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to watch for sure. We've seen a few things like that now, like Terrell Pryor jumping in at quarterback, Ty Montgomery wide receiver bumping over to running back, and Mike Gillislee potentially getting the opportunity to take the bulk of the shares over in Buffalo. Should LeSean McCoy not play, you have Gillislee. What is he ranked for you? Let me just find this. 50th. He's your running back 50. Sorry, I didn't write it down on my page. But where does he move up to if McCoy is ruled out?
I would put him as a low-end RB2. The problem with Gillislee is if you look at him, averaging over 10 yards per carry last year, averaging high sixes this season. But as we saw last year, and again, over 10 yards per carry, and then he got that ball in the one game and had like 24 carries for 25 yards. So we've seen it before that I think he's best suited as a change of pace role. I don't think he can lead a backfield. That being said, if he's getting 24 touches again, I don't expect it to be that bad. And it is a pretty good matchup for him. So I would expect him to be in that low RB2 range just because of the volume. But similar to Jaquizz Rodgers, is where he's not really built for it. You're basing the volume and the upside to have your fantasy day be worthy. If he has a struggle, it'd be like, look, again, you just go back to that game. He could have barely get over 1 yard per carry. If he can't do that again this season, there's a very low floor. So you're adding a lot of risk if McCoy is out.
All right, well, we don't usually talk about your wide receiver 1 to 10 rankings because generally speaking, they remain the same with a few minor changes. But we're going to look at the board today. You have Julio Jones at number 1, Evans, A.J. Green, Odell Beckham. You have T.Y. Hilton, Jordy Nelson, Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, and then Antonio Brown. And this is someone we're used to seeing as a top 3 receiver week in and week out. Not even considering matchup, you know that he's going to get work in. But Landry Jones, he's the quarterback this week. And we've seen the splits with Big Ben and without Big Ben. And Antonio Brown's numbers, frankly, are essentially cut in half. So you have him in your top 10. But what do you really expect from him this week?
Honestly, you know, I work by projections early in the week, and I'm going to run them again today, and I think I might slide him down a little bit, honestly.
Okay.
And that's, we're basing this basically on the fact that it's name value. It's Antonio Brown, and every single week you go out there, similar to Rob Gronkowski when he wasn't 100% earlier this year, it's kind of like if he's got a jersey on and he's on the field, you kind of have to start him. But you mentioned it. The numbers are cut in half when you talk about targets, receptions, yards. In PPR league, it's beyond half. He's getting less than 10 points per game. He hasn't scored a touchdown with anybody not named Ben Roethlisberger. So you have to look at it and say, you know, I have him inside the top 10, but am I just doing that because of the name? So again, I'm probably going to run my projections. I wouldn't be surprised if he falls back a couple spots. But the thing is, there's a lot of top-end receivers this week that have difficult matchups. So it's hard to slide him back too far. Again, because if Landry Jones can just get him the ball 3 or 4 times, he can do enough with it himself that he could take care of a good fantasy day for you. And I think that's why you have to start him. And he's almost worthy being of a wide receiver 1 just because he's so talented.
Well, in Landry Jones's start in week 7 against Kansas City last year, Antonio Brown, 6 of 8 receptions, 124 yards, although still not finding the end zone, as you mentioned. So, Jake, wait, are you wavering on don't start your studs? Are you wavering on that?
Oh, no. Well, see, that's the thing is you always start your studs, but that, yeah, it's just there's two things here. Is like you start your studs, but not if you got a junk at quarterback.
Okay, not if you have someone that could just like flick the ball. All right, quickly, we go to touch on your tight ends. Jordan Reed is your tight end number two, taking on the Detroit Lions this week, but he's been diagnosed with at least his sixth concussion symptoms, which he readily admitted he held back telling the training staff. This guy is not serious about his health and long-term well-being. I don't care what anybody says. If he's not able to go, it's going to be Vernon Davis. Sometimes backups end up being sleepers, but sometimes backups are backups for a reason. So what's your take on this situation?
I think he could fall into a touchdown this week. If you look at the matchup, nobody gives up more to tight ends. He fell into one last week. He almost actually had two. He had two catches for 50 yards and missed another touchdown. The only concern here is we've seen Niles Paul show up at times before too. So this could be a game where everything looks like Vernon Davis should be their step-in replacement. People are going to use him on DFS. People are going to pick him up and plug him in for lesser tight ends. But don't be surprised if it's just not him this week.
Colin Kaepernick, quickly, we got to go, but Colin Kaepernick, what's his deal this week? I mean, he wasn't great against Buffalo, but he didn't throw a pick.
No, but 66 rushing yards is beyond, it's a free touchdown and a half in the Bucs defense. Lots of rushing given up. This is a matchup where you can get another 60 yards, and you have to like that.
Absolutely. So thank you so much, Jake. We will talk to you again next week, my friend. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, bye. Colin Kaepernick, 13 of 29 for 187 yards and a touchdown, plus the yards on the ground that Jake mentioned. Moving on to our next segment, just after the break, Nick Giffen from RotoViz joins us. We're talking about some of the storylines he's following this week. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for sticking with us, you guys. And time flies when we're having fun. This is the last segment of the day, and save the best for last, I guess you could say, because Nick Giffen from RotoViz takes time out of his move to join us. Nick, we really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, anytime. Speaking of having fun, NFL Week 7. I can't believe we're a third of the way through the season.
It's actually sad.
I know. It really is.
I was talking to Jake Seeley about that actually a couple weeks ago, and it was like, it's almost like when parents say, wow, time flies when your kid goes from like one and seemingly just to five. And since I'm not a parent, like this is the closest it gets.
Yep, that's same for me.
Well, let's get right into it because there's a couple storylines that you have your eye on that you want to share your wisdom with our viewers about. So we're going to start with DeMarco Murray taking on the Colts this week. And for you, he is a must start in any format, in any situation. You're just really high on this guy.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, DeMarco Murray, his worst week of the season, you know, came last week, and he still put up 12.5 fantasy points. I think this week against Indianapolis, the team that's dead last in efficiency against the run, they're also dead last in efficiency against pass-catching running backs, and DeMarco Murray is active in both of those phases of the game. I think that's just really important. I think DeMarco Murray's floor is probably 15 DraftKings points, but he's averaged 22.5 this year. I expect him to go above his average this year. That means he's going to put up a 3 or 4X value day, which we really want on DraftKings in our cash games. And especially at a high price, if you can get a guy who meets and exceeds value, we really want him in GPPs as well. So I think I'm probably going to go 100% DeMarco Murray this week.
Yeah, you kind of have to, and it's nice because he's not just being the workhorse and racking up all the yards and then getting kind of screwed over at the goal line. He has added those touchdowns as well. And over 25 touches on average in his last four games is just volume that you simply cannot ignore. There is a volume situation that we've been talking about on and off a little bit this season. Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard for the Bengals. It's been Gio Bernard who's out-touched and out-rushed Hill over the last two games. But for some reason, I just feel like there's an opportunity for both of these guys taking on Cleveland this week. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I think this is a great week for the whole Cincinnati offense. You know, Cleveland's just been terrible this year, and they're like 9 or 9.5 point favorites right now. So I think this is a really good situation for Jeremy Hill and GPPs. I think a lot of people will be on the pass game here, but if you kind of want to leverage off of the pass game, you can play Jeremy Hill. He should get the goal line looks this week. I know Gio Bernard got three in a row last week and couldn't put the ball in, and I think they're probably going to go back to what's been working, which is Jeremy Hill punching in these short ones. He did have 13 carries last week, so there is still some volume here as well, and at $4,000, if he gets one touchdown and 13 carries, he'll easily exceed value, and hey, he could have a multiple touchdown game this week against a really bad Cleveland defense.
Yeah, Bernard can't waste those opportunities. When you're given a shot to be the guy and just kind of punch it home, you can't get stuffed at the goal line. It's the most frustrating thing for owners.
yep. And I was on Gio last week too, so I was kind of frustrated.
Oh, so this is a spiteful move. This is like, you know what, Gino? No, we're going Jeremy Hill this week.
Yeah.
Spencer Ware, has he earned at least a 60-40 split in the KC offense when Jamaal Charles finally gets the usual volume we're used to seeing from him?
I think so. I mean, he's definitely earned at least 50. And right now, he's the healthier back. He's been dynamic this year. We've seen him perform very well. And of course, this week, the matchup against New Orleans is just unbelievable. I think they're just going to run the ball. I'm actually going to probably fade the Kansas City pass game because I think they're going to run the ball so well. Spencer Ware is a guy I'm considering in cash games. I love him in GPPs as well. You can even use Jamaal Charles in GPPs. I think it's just going to be the run show here for Kansas City. So I'm just all over Spencer Ware this week. I really love him as a play, and I do think he's earned that 60-40 split, even going forward, until Jamaal Charles has potentially shown he's better than Spencer Ware, but I'm not so sure that's the case.
Yeah, maybe not the case anymore, even though he's had an illustrious career. You said you're fading the KC pass game, but what game are you looking to target their offensive assets, quarterback, wide receiver?
Yeah, I like the whole Oakland versus Jacksonville game. I think both quarterbacks could throw for 300 yards in this game. I foresee it being a shootout. Both defenses are pretty bad at covering the wide receiver position. Jacksonville, less so. They got a really good rookie cornerback in Jalen Ramsey. So that should give Amari Cooper a little bit of headaches, but I think he'll probably, he's still Amari Cooper. He's a fantastic play. But I think, Michael Crabtree is a great comeback option if you're maybe stacking the Jacksonville offense. Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, I think, is a good play at 3,200 on DraftKings. I mean, this whole game is stackable. Allen Hurns, of course, at $5,000. He's a great leverage play off of Allen Robinson. And really, you can just stack this game. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, it's one of the ones, just stack your roster, take the over, sit back and eat some nachos and see what happens. The Chargers tight end situation is something that's been really interesting. Antonio Gates has been back the last 2 weeks, but it's been Hunter Henry who's really done the bulk of the work. And then Gates has come out and said, hey, I'm fine just being a decoy. If the defense wants to key in on me and it's opening up other guys, that's great. But for fantasy owners of Antonio Gates, it's very frustrating. Do you see him keeping this decoy, low production role for the rest of the season?
No, I actually don't. I think they'll definitely get him involved in places, and I think this is one of the situations they can get him involved against Atlanta. Atlanta is so bad against the tight end. I can't understate enough, how bad they are against the tight end position. And Antonio Gates is only $2,900 on DraftKings this week, $5,500 on FanDuel. That's huge value. I am considering stacking both Henry and Gates in this game. We've seen games before against Atlanta. Tampa Bay, they had three tight ends hit value against Atlanta. And Oakland had two tight ends beat value against Atlanta. So I think Hunter Henry and Antonio Gates are both in play this week. I really like high team total games, and this is a game that the over-under is 53.5, and especially at the tight end position, I think that matters. So even though San Diego is an underdog, this is the best spot for tight ends. And also, Tyrell Williams will be guarded by Desmond Trufant, so I think that does bump Tyrell Williams down a little bit, which makes me really focus on these tight ends even more.
All right, we have about 30 seconds here, Nick, but just give me some cash game targets.
Yeah, I think you got to go with that Cincinnati passing game and Andy Dalton. He's only at 6,000 this week. He could throw for 300 yards, but even if he doesn't, I think he's got potentially multiple touchdowns in him. AJ Green, play both of them in cash. I have no problem stacking them in cash games this week because the matchup is so good. That's where I am.
All right, well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time and good luck in all your matchups this week.
Yep, anytime, and extra cheese on those nachos.
Absolutely. See you later. Bye. And yeah, you got to love that. Cleveland allowing the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 24 average on DraftKings. We'll see you guys tomorrow for our Friday show. Bye.